The views and opinions expressed in the Golden Boot Podcast are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Golden Boot Podcast as a whole.
Y'all ready to get rolling? Quiet on the set. Welcome back. Another hot episode of the Golden Boot. It's your boy Pooh Bow. Our man Ann Petty Murphy is not with us tonight, so I'm holding it down for the home team. But we have a great episode coming for you, coming to you tonight. We have Vanderbilt joining us, Mr. Coy Burton, locked on Vandy. It's gonna be interesting. I know a lot of people kind of overlook Vandy and everything. I think I'm going to approach this one a little bit different. I got respect for Clark Lee. I like Vandy. I always pull for him. Except when they blew my parlay last year. But we'll get into that. But, man, we got a good one tonight, man. We definitely got to talk about our girl, man. We got to talk about Angel Reese. She's been on fire. But nobody's talking about it, and it's driving me crazy. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it. Paul Skeens. We got to talk about him. The Davis brothers, no relation. They've been doing what they have been known to do in the recruiting realm. Been tearing it up, man. Brad Davis, we know. We've seen what he can do. We've heard from many Texas fans say Brad Davis is not that good. I'm sorry, Bo Davis is not that good of a recruiter. Doesn't look that way. He's doing pretty well so far for LSU. We'll get there. We'll talk about it. But man, lots to talk about, lots in store. Want to shout out everybody tuning in that's watching right now. What's good, Tyler? Chuck checking in. Appreciate you, Chuck. Man, I just want to say, I know we use Lab Store. I was hoping, you know, I knew it was a possibility Ant wouldn't be here tonight, but I want to, and I don't know if he's watching, but I had a dream the other night. I had a dream me and Ant were playing football. And Ant was, I think he was like H-back flank or something like that. I was lined up at wide. And I saw the play coming. I knew what they were calling. And I told Ant, just follow me. I got you. I got you, brother. They pitched the ball to Ant. Ant came around the outside. I laid a crack back, laid out two defenders. Ant walked in the end zone. We'll celebrate. I hadn't been able to call Ant and talk to him about it. I don't know what that represented, but I got your back, brother. You already know I do. But, man, let's go ahead and get started. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Your calls. We'll be taking calls later on. Our guest is with us. I was going to wait till probably about 8:20. We'll probably get to him a little bit earlier, just a tad bit earlier, if that's okay with him. All right, yeah, we'll probably get to him a little bit earlier. But we'll talk about Angel Reese first and some of these commits, get that out of the way. But first, you know what we got to do? We got to give a shout-out to our sponsors over at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag, we will be back in 1 minute. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your sports information, stats, news, and scores.
Get the latest odds, lines, and player injury reports for this year's NBA and NHL playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters. This season, we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. We have everything from NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL to golf, tennis, UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games that you can play right from your home. Head on over to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use the promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe less than about an hour, hour and a half ago, our very own, the Forever Bayou Barbie, the Chi-Town Barbie, Angel Reese, just set the record for consecutive double-doubles in the WNBA. She did that 13 straight, breaking Candace Parker's record. She did it in her rookie season. First of all, it's the first time that they had ever had 12 in a single season. And now, spanning two seasons, she has the most ever. Nobody's talking about it. So I do want to talk about Angel Reese, what she's been able to do as of late. The last game that she had where she didn't have a double-double was against Caitlin Clark, June 1st. From there, all she did was 13-10, 16-11, 13-13, 20-10, 10-14, 11-13, 16-18, 25-16, 18-11, 10-16, 12-19, 27-10, and then tonight, if I'm not mistaken, 17-14. That wasn't her first double-double on the year. She started off the season, close, 12-8, 11-9, 13-9, 13-5, 11-12. There was a game she was 6-6, and then, like I mentioned, on June 1st, 8-13. But I want to talk about this part. This is what people aren't saying or aren't talking about Angel Reese. When she first started this season, Angel Reese was not the main weapon. She was not the go-to. Angel Reese was a, hey, get it off the board and put it back up. They gave her a couple easy passes, a couple easy, points. She missed a few. She had some games where she struggled in the field. But Angel has found her own. We were talking last night, and Danny Girl, who frequents the show in spaces all the time, talked about how she notices that Angel is taking on more of a leadership role with this team as a rookie. This is, I think, Chicago was a ideal spot for her. She landed there. She didn't have to play the five. She was there with Cardoza. Unfortunately, Cardoza has been hurt at least to start the season. I don't even know if she played much today. But she doesn't have necessarily be the big play the five. Chicago only returned three players from last season. Angel came in amongst the veterans, and she was able to kind of establish a voice for herself. New head coach, everybody's learning. And she came in and was kind of humble. She talks, she talks her trash on the court. She talks it. We know. We've seen it. And depending on where you sit on the spectrum of how you feel about her, you may love it or you may hate it. But what we've also been able to see, her pick up her teammates as they're as they come off the court, we've been able to see her, give an encouraging word or show sportsmanship, helping other players up, talking to other players, showing respect to the greats. Cheryl Swoops is in, when she comes around, how she, gravitates to her and listens to what she says. Veterans of the WNBA, we've been able to see that from her, and it's been big. It's been it's been key, in my opinion, to see Angel's growth in this short amount of time, in this first 20 games or so of the season. We hadn't even been able to talk about it. Angel was the rookie of the month for June. Her stats have been, I mean, out of this world. And somebody put it, pull it up here, pull up this tweet that someone put out there that kind of tells the story. So Angel Reese so far, she leads Caitlin Clark in steals per game, PIE, PER, offensive rating, defensive rating, net rating, plus minus, turnovers, turnover ratio, etc. And she gets almost 50% of her team's offensive rebounds. People are talking about rookie of the year, and it was at one point it was thought to be Caitlin Clark's award to lose. It's hard to argue against that. Angel Reese shouldn't be number one in that conversation. She has her team in prime position to make the playoffs and make a playoff run. They've been able to take on some of the top teams in the WNBA and find wins. They just beat Seattle Friday night, end up losing earlier today, but they've been able to find ways to win. They've been even able to find ways to get wins over the New York Liberty, stay competitive with the Las Vegas Aces. So, I mean, when you look at it, you put it all in totality. I got to ask, why isn't she being considered for Rookie of the Year or getting more of a consideration for Rookie of the Year? And why isn't she getting talked about enough, especially by LSU media? That's where I'm at with that. It's just kind of interesting to me. But no, you know, kudos to her. Big shout out to her. She also made WNBA All-Star Game. Caitlin Clark made it as well. Caitlin Clark got her first triple-double the other day as well. There's somebody else I do want to say, in all fairness, is starting to grow as well in the game and find herself. Two different players, two different positions, but I do want to say, you know, put that out there. But again, congratulations to Angel on Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry. I'm speaking a little too far in advance. Rookie of the Month for June, WNBA All-Star, double-double record, so on and so on, and many more to come. Next up, man, I got to talk about, before we get our guest in here, we got to talk about the Davis twins, man. I call them Davis twins. We got to talk about Brad and Bo Davis. As we know, Brad Davis has been able to hold his own, been able to pull in some great talent, commits. So far, he's gotten Carius Kern, Brett Borderline, Devin Harper, Tyler Miller, and that's just, you know, this year's haul. We know the guys he's been able to bring in the past. People were kind of waiting on Bo Davis to get going, and he got going in a big way. You know, flipping Brandon Brown out of Melbourne, Florida, been able to pull in Zion Williams out of Lufkin. And as much as I want to make a joke about the NBA Zion being able to play defensive line, I'll leave that one alone. Then also, whether we say Bo Davis or Peoples, being able to get Damian Shanklin and LaJesse Harrell, get those guys coming in. We're starting to see, man. We're starting to see this recruiting take a turn. And defensive line is doing very well. Bo Davis, I keep getting them mixed up. Bo Davis has done a phenomenal job. I do want to say, AD mention it last night. It was probably a couple of weeks ago. People were saying that, you know, oh, man, he's missed out on too many guys. You know, what are we doing? Texas was right. He's not able to recruit. And now we see all the guys he's winning, that the guys that they put focus on, and Blake mentioned it before, you know, the guys that they put focus on, they were able to get. And so I'm wondering if this narrative that Bo Davis isn't a good recruiter, I wonder if it was just so much that he couldn't recruit at Texas? Or why is it that he, or is it that he couldn't sell the program because the program didn't have much to sell at Texas? I'm just saying. We can figure it out. Arthur Coco chimes in. So why are people panicking over Corey Raymond? Corey Raymond. I think this is a very interesting point. So Arthur, first of all, thank you for coming, joining us. I think it's a little bit different with Corey Raymond. Corey Raymond was here before. I think it's twofold. I think it's kind of unfair to Corey Raymond. He hadn't been here since January, and people are expecting him to move mountains. So it's kind of unfair to him. But at the same time, people have a lot of expectations. And one of the reasons, main reasons people were clamoring for Corey Raymond to come back was this notion that him coming back, he'd be able to, you know, recruit, get all the top recruits, and we'll be back. DBU is back, baby. That's all we heard. DBU is back. Corey Raymond's back. But then he's here, and we've, you know, struck out on, you know, guy A, struck out on guy B. We get guy C. Guy C decommits. And it's kind of a people wondering, did we put all our eggs in the wrong basket? Should we have put so much faith in Corey Raymond? So, yeah, it's Ant, what's up, Ant? Ant, you know, brings up a great point. He said the whole defensive staff came in January and they've been landing recruits. No more excuses for Corey Raymond. That's very fair. That's very fair. And I asked last night, if I know it's a hypothetical and it's hard to say, but if this was Chevis Jackson, that was another hot name that was, you know, during that cornerback coach selection. If this was Chevis Jackson and, you know, same performance where, you know, miss on one guy, miss on another, land a guy, that guy decommits, would we give him grace and say that, you know, he's just got here? Would we make it, you know, would we make excuses, or would we be just as hard or harder? I think it's, you know, a little bit of everything on that one. I think some people are giving Corey Raymond a little bit too much grace. I think some people are giving Corey Raymond too much of a hard time. But hey, you know, we all know that what we need are more defensive backs, more cornerbacks. We're gonna build from the high school, like BK said. We got to start landing these guys. We can't just say we can't live by the whole Louisiana 3-star. Is a 5-star, 4-star somewhere else. We can't keep living off of that. It's not going to work. But man, look, I've been chit-chatting and talking enough. My guest backstage, ready to bring him on. I've been looking forward to this one. Been looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, from Locked On Vandy, he's got a lot. Listen, I put just Locked On Vandy. This guy has all kind of accolades as far as shows that he's on, but I'd like to welcome to the Golden Boot, Mr. Corey Burton. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're having a good evening, man. And how are you?
Man, I'm great. I appreciate you having me on. And this is a phenomenal opportunity, and you hit the nail on the head. I am a little bit of everywhere when it comes to the shows that I'm on. So it's a lot of fun though, man.
Yeah, and this typically a two-man operation, so it's a little bit harder when I – so let me go ahead and give you your just due.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, we typically have the two-man operation. We can work that simultaneously, but kind of hard
name, by the way. The Golden Boot.
Oh, no.
Love that, dude. That's awesome.
Appreciate it, man. So I got the first question I've got when I was bringing you on. I actually live in Huntsville, so I'm about an hour, half hour, 45 from Nashville. I've been to probably two or three Vanderbilt games. But let me ask this.
Okay.
Because I have been to Nashville and I know the lay of the land and everything, how does one become either a Vanderbilt fan or a podcaster that talks about Vandy?
Well, I'll tell you how this all unfolded. Honestly, one of my really good friends that I host SEC After Dark, he's an Ole Miss guy, and he does a show for Locked On Ole Miss. And so him and I have been friends for a long time, and I live in Nashville. So Locked On was looking for a host for Vandy, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna step up for the underdogs here. I'm gonna show some love for Vandy. They're my local school here in my backyard. So I pull for them. I'm a Georgia guy by nature. I graduated from Georgia. That's where I got on the Georgia show. But
leaving Georgia,
yeah. So Vandy had a need, and I stepped right in and took it.
Oh man, listen. Kudos for doing that, stepping up. I talked about it briefly. I said that I kind of cheer for Vandy and stuff. Many a time have I hit the season over under 2.5. Uh-huh. Vandy has cashed in for me.
Yeah.
They last year they did good miss. Bill. Yeah, they missed. I think it was last year or year before. I had a parlay, and it was all I needed was like Vandy's 17.5 or something over Hawaii, and they let Hawaii come back. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, it was it's just crazy. But man, definitely want to get into it. Clark Lee, yeah, Vandy guy through and through.
Oh, yeah.
I saw during the Destin, what was it, the coaches' meetings they have in Destin, Florida, or whatever. He talked about the walk ons and stuff, and how himself being a walk on. Mm-hmm. That said, he's lovable. He's a great, you know, saying person. But wins got to come some kind of way. But with Vandy, how much grace does he get?
I think it was getting real hot there towards back in November. You go 2-10. It was probably one of the most pitiful seasons I've ever seen Vandy have in my lifetime, and that's saying a lot. Getting shelled by UNLV is not a great look, but – you know, coming off of that season, I think the administration was looking for him to make major changes, and he did. And he was active in the portal. I think he bought himself at least another year, unless this year is a complete disaster like last year. I think he buys another year or two with all the changes that he's made. I think there's some steps in the right direction as far as strength and conditioning. I think he's got great leadership on as his offensive coordinator. He took over the defense. He hired Jerry Kill, who, if you know Jerry Kill, he's a program builder. He'd be doing it on the sideline himself if it weren't for health problems. So I think he's done all the right things so far. Now he's just got to equate those into wins.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I didn't even – and I knew, you know, some of the coaching changes. I didn't realize Jerry Kill former Minnesota guy. I remember the health scare there. If I'm not mistaken, was that New Mexico State?
Yeah, New Mexico State. Yeah.
That beat Arbor last year.
Uh-huh. He took basically the entire staff and half the roster, brought him over to Vanderbilt, said, hey, if you can go down to Auburn and completely dismantle them, well, I need some of that, you know, and that's kind of what he did. But yeah, Jerry Kill, man, seizures is what keeps knocking him out of these head coaching jobs. I mean, you win 10 games at New Mexico State. I don't think they've won 10 games in a decade down there before you got there. They're not very.
I know they competed. Did they win the championship, New Mexico State, last year? I know they competed. Okay.
No, they ran into a Liberty team that was
that
was just too tough for them.
Yeah. So Clark Lee, like I said, lovable guy. How does he, I guess, keep this team interested and stuff going throughout the year, suffering some of the losses that they suffer?
Well, they compete a ton at practice. They've got a lot of transfer portal guys that are going to be part of the nucleus now. And so I don't think those guys, obviously those guys weren't around last year for all that losing. So it almost feels like a fresh bunch that doesn't really know that Vandy's supposed to suck. And I mean, that's a good thing, right?
Right.
You a lot of, like in a situation like this, like a lot of loss is not a bad thing when you lose a lot of people in the portal and you backfill it with people who aren't around, because there's not really any doldrums. Everybody's fresh. Everybody's competing. You know, there's some great leadership amongst the players, starting with Diego Pavia. And, you know, I think it's just a kind of a new culture, new strength coach is, you know, breathing some life into them. The tough part will be, because I still don't think Vandy is as deep as they need to be for the grind of an SEC schedule. I think they've got some really talented guys in the first unit and a couple of subs, but I think you need a little bit more quality depth to kind of sustain a season. You get to about mid-season, right around that Texas game, then you go Ball State, and then I think starts a gauntlet of Auburn, South Carolina, bye week, then LSU, Tennessee. It's going to be tough if things go sideways at that point of the season, but I think early on they're going to be ready for Virginia Tech. I mean, I think it's going to be a whether they win or lose, I think they're going to be pretty competitive. I think, you know, the early line I think was 14.5. It's now since dropped to 13. So it's moving in favor of Vanderbilt right now. So I think they're going to be really competitive. I don't think interest, at least early on, is going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of looking there at the schedule. VTech, Alcorn State, Georgia State. Then you got Mizzou,
that's
Bama. Yeah. Just looking at it, and I hate to say this, it's tough to see, you know, four or five wins on a schedule, you know,
I can see that.
Yeah, but you also kind of have to believe that there's going to be some change, you know, that Vandy's going to get it together somewhere.
Yeah, I think people, you know, they see what happened last year, and rightfully so. You know, you have a season like you did last year, it's easy to look at the schedule and go, Mizzou, oh, they're going to get shelled. Virginia Tech, they're going to get shelled. Bama, shelled. Texas, shelled. You know, you look at that and you automatically assume that, but there's been a lot of change in mentality. There's been a lot of change in leadership. There's been new players rolling in, new schemes, new everything. This is a completely different Vanderbilt team than everybody's seen. So not saying they're going to go out and run the table and go 12-0 by any stretch of the imagination. I think you look at some of these games and you can safely assume that it's not going to go in Vanderbilt's favor, and that's okay as long as they're competitive in those. I think that's what you're looking for this year. Like Missouri, like at Missouri, that's going to be a tough one to win. But you get a couple things going your way that early in the season, who knows, right? I think Kentucky has a chance as one of the potential upsets. I think South Carolina, Auburn, I think are probably your best chances. LSU, no shot. Tennessee, no shot. You know, Bama, Missouri, Texas, no shot. Unless there's massive injuries late in the season. Like, you know, if LSU gets a rash of injuries and you're on your third string quarterback, okay, we might look at that game a little differently. But for the most part, I mean, I think you've got four wins, five wins possibly. With if everything goes right, you can get to six. I think that's your ceiling. I think your floor is about four. So anywhere from four to six wins, I think you consider Vanderbilt's season a success. Three wins, depending on what happens in the others, it gets a little tricky. Anything under three, Clark Lee's got to go.
Gotcha. My man Ant Marshall asked this. AJ Swan, former Vanderbilt guy, what is LSU getting in him?
He's a competitive guy. He's you know, he's got a lot of talent throwing the ball. He's really good at reading defenses and, you know, just kind of pocket presence things and knowing when to bail and all that stuff. He's got really good quarterback skills. I wouldn't look too much at his film at Vanderbilt and dissect a lot from last year, because I don't know what the offense was trying to do last year, which is why I think Tim Beck and Jerry Kill are in the building now. It just didn't seem like they had much of an identity, or didn't seem like the offensive coordinator last year didn't know what to do with A.J. Swan, or didn't know what to do with Ken Seals. And oftentimes they were in disadvantaged situations. So I think he was the best quarterback on the roster last year, talent wise. And I think they're getting a really good one.
Players to watch out for on this new Vandy team. Who are some guys on offense and defense that we should keep an eye out for?
Diego Pavia is the obvious number one on offense, the quarterback. He's, you know, if you watch him in that Auburn game last year, I mean, he took over. Cedric Alexander, A.J. Newberry, a duo at running back is something that people should watch out for. I think they're going to have a really good tandem there. Jeremiah Dillon at wide receiver, Quincy Skinner at wide receiver. Those two guys I think are going to emerge as two options. Micah Bell as well in the return game and at receiver. So I think you have some dynamic receivers that people don't know a whole lot about, because Jeremiah Dillon had opportunities or couldn't crack the lineup at Ole Miss, but he has a ton of talent, former four-star kid. Defensively, C.J. Taylor, Langston Patterson, Cordae Sidnor. You have Marlon Jones and Mark Davis at corner. I think you have those are all except for Patterson and Taylor, those are all portal guys and guys that I think can make a difference on the defense.
All right. So you mentioned kind of overhaul on offense. Which side of the ball will Vandy hang their hat on? Which side is going to carry this team?
Defense. It's going to be defense. Clark Lee, he is taking special care of the defense, and hiring Jerry Kill in the position that he's hired in allows him to do that, because Jerry Kill is another set of head coach eyes that can kind of help oversee things. He's got a little bit of like head coach power, not total head coach power, but he's got enough to where if Clark Lee's in a defensive meeting, he can handle some things. But defense is going to be the calling card. I think it's built from the secondary towards the front. I think the secondary is the best part of the defense, led by C.J. Taylor, led by those two corners, transfer guys. One's an all-conference corner from Eastern Washington. The other was all-conference at Southern Illinois. So, yeah, defense for sure. Running game next, and then passing game and special teams.
Gotcha. Let me ask this, because I know you mentioned four is kind of the floor. What is, outside of necessarily a certain number of wins, what does success for Vanderbilt look like this season?
I think success is offensively being able to move the ball, score some points. You know, something that Vanderbilt absolutely could not do last year. It seemed like ineptitude was probably the nicest way I can describe it last year. So moving the ball, getting first downs, putting points on the board, giving themselves a chance to win games in that demeanor. Defensively, getting better on third down, getting off the field on third down, obviously, getting after the quarterback, you know, limiting your run numbers, winning first down, keeping games tight for as long as possible. Like, I think if you can take Bama, Texas, LSU, and Tennessee into the fourth quarter, I think you can kind of say, hey, this Vanderbilt team, they're not quite where they want to be yet, but they're showing signs of, okay, this team is actually pretty good.
Yeah. It's funny because you started talking about those, I guess, defensive keys to success. Mm-hmm. It sounded a lot like LSU. You know, get off the field on third down.
No, it was brutal, man.
Yo, man, tell me about it. I'm trying to think. I know Tennessee's a rival. There's some other kind of key games on the schedule, but what game do you think is like, outside of the, of course, the rivalry game, what game is circled on this calendar for Vanderbilt?
Well, the obvious answer, this is probably coach speak, but the first one, yeah. Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. But outside of that one, South Carolina, I mean, they've got a 15-game losing streak to South Carolina. That one's circled many times over. Auburn is scheduled, is circled, because believe it or not, that series is closer than you might think. I think Auburn has a one game advantage in that series, like lifetime.
Yeah.
The Texas game will be fun. I don't think anybody has much expectation with that. Hopefully, hope you're competitive in that one. But I would say outside of Tennessee would be South Carolina and Virginia Tech for sure. And then probably Kentucky, because you can get that one too.
Yeah. I'm looking at this because you said it. That is a stat. Head-to-head Auburn and Vanderbilt, it is 22-1-21, mm-hmm. with Auburn having the 22 wins, Vandy having the 21.
Yep.
And the last – that wasn't always like that, because Auburn just won the last two to make it 22-21. Mm-hmm. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, you don't think about that. Like,
yeah,
people are like, oh, Vanderbilt, kick him out of the SEC. They got some, like, you know, the new member, they're 8-1 against Texas lifetime. I mean, they played them mostly in like the 20s, but back before the forward pass was legal, but still, like, that, you see that, it's pretty jarring. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, and so they've had some success.
Yeah. I know Vandy's not, SEC's not letting Vandy go in. Vandy can go 0-12 for the next 10 years. Yeah, exactly. SEC's not letting them go. They add too much value in other places. Mm-hmm. I want to shift gears a little bit from football to basketball. Jerry Stackhouse is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you guys bring in? I can't remember. Who did you guys bring in? And
we brought in Mark Byington from James Madison. He is and when you kind of look at him, I for one was like, what? Who? Because I thought we were going to get your guy, Wade.
Will Wade.
That's right. I was like, he's since left my mind since he didn't get hired. But like, yeah, I thought for sure we were getting your guy, Will Wade. But I looked at him like, what, who, what, why? And then I started kind of digging in a little bit. Mm-hmm. This guy's a pretty good, like, he's taken over some pretty crappy situations, and like, you know, obviously not turned them into tournament teams except for James Madison, but like, he's turned them significantly around to where they're like not the bottom of the barrel anymore. But I mean, right. He's taken some like really bad situations, like Georgia Southern was one of them that he took over, and they were like, I don't know if you know anything about Georgia Southern, but like, basketball is probably the last thing on their mind down there at Georgia Southern. Their football and baseball. And he comes in to Vandy, and it's a completely new roster now. Like, it's, I mean, when I say completely new roster, not, I think maybe one guy was on the roster last year. They all hit the portal, obviously. A couple of them graduated, but he brought in some dudes, and he has his philosophy I really like. He plays like he's what Vandy needs, right? Mm-hmm. It's outside the box. It's not conventional basketball. It's a more of a full court positionless basketball, transition basketball type scheme. And he's got some guys that fit that. And I think he's got an alpha from Michigan State that I really like. And so he, you know, when I start kind of diving into the roster a little bit, I know I've done like, every time they get a portal, every time they got a portal guy, I would do a show on them. But like, now that they're starting to practice together, we'll see kind of how they mesh. But I don't know if you saw Jerry Stackhouse. He got hired by the Warriors.
No, I didn't. I hadn't even.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was such a bad fit for the college game. Unfortunately, he's just not a college guy. He's a really good NBA guy. He's a really good basketball mind, obviously.
Right.
You know, he was a really good player, great player in the NBA. Just didn't translate at the college level, and some of the barriers you have at a place like Vanderbilt, it just couldn't overcome them.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned Will Wade. Another little funny stat. Will Wade never won in Vandy.
Yeah. Again, that's one of those fun facts.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of environment that Memorial Gym brings.
Yeah.
When it's when it's going.
I'll never forget. I came to a it was February 2020. This was before COVID hit. It was 2020. Before the whole COVID shutdown, LSU played at Vandy. LSU was still hot coming from the previous season. Mm-hmm. Vandy was like on a 0-15 losing streak at home or SEC or something like that. Yeah. LSU came in there and Vandy got hot and nobody could miss a three. And I was sitting under the backboard and every time a shot went up, I just sank further and further in my seat. And some Vandy guys was like, "Hey, Jim usually sits there, but you can come back anytime you want."
So, I love that. Yeah. It's just one of those things, man. And it's like such a unique environment that people just struggle.
Yeah. The way the court set up with the coaches on the ends and stuff, it's really unique. And like it looks like a high school gym, but it's like a fun environment.
Yeah. And then, you look at it and there's a lot of space. And then all of a sudden you look out, and then it's just straight vertical from there.
Yeah.
And it becomes really loud because, everything's right there.
Right.
It seems like it's right there on top of you and it's really not. It's kind of an illusion almost.
Yeah.
You get kind of lost in it and it just, it's a unique environment.
Yeah. Ant asked about Tim Corbin. What's the temperature of the fan base on him?
I think people are a little disappointed in Tim Corbin this year because they couldn't hit a lick. But, I mean, outside of just being a little disappointed, of course you're going to have some lunatics out there that are like, fire Tim Corbin, which would be all stupid. Right. I think he's fine. He's made some moves in the portal. I think people have kind of backed off that a little bit. I hope at least the smart ones have. But, I'd be lying to you if I said we weren't disappointed with – we had such good – Vandy had such good pitching.
Right.
That if you don't get any run support, it's all for naught.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think people – and like LSU fans had to face the reality of what it's like to lose Paul Skeens. You guys lost Leiter, Rocker, and a bunch of those guys. And I don't think people realize what that does to your team, trying to rebuild that, especially now.
Yeah, those guys covered up for a lot of pitching problems. Or not pitching problems, but a lot of hitting problems.
Mm-hmm.
When things were light hitting wise, they could take over a game. It wouldn't matter. It's not the case here. You didn't have a dominant starter. You had guys that had dominant performances and covered up for a lot of nights where they couldn't hit. But for the most part, especially on the road, I mean, it was a dart throw.
Yeah. Let me ask this, because again, I'm gonna shift gears one more time. I'll move out of Vandy. Let's go to the Believe in put your Believe in Georgia hat on.
Okay, all right, put the Believe in Georgia hat on. Got it.
Georgia this year, with what I guess you can say the disappointment of last year, not getting the opportunity for a three-peat. Mm-hmm. Somebody's gonna jump on me. They had the chance, they lost. I get it. What's the kind of the feel of the program there coming into this season? I've got to imagine they're jacked. They're ready for, make some noise again.
I don't think Kirby would let them be any other way, to be honest with you. But they're jacked. I mean, I think everyone, with Carson Beck coming back and that whole receiver group that's coming back, I think will make up for not having Brock Bowers, and Ladd McConkey. I think there's some serious talent there in the receiver room, especially with the transfer guys and Colby Young and London Humphreys. Then you had, Ra-Ra Thomas, Dominic Lovett. Those guys are going to be really good. Arian Smith. But I mean, you've got a ton of receiving talent there that's going to just kind of just be more dynamic down the field. I think you're going to have an offense in year two under Carson Beck that is not in training wheels the first few weeks of the game. And the defense just with CJ Allen at linebacker, Malachi Starks in the secondary. You have to replace two really talented corners, especially Kamari Lassiter. But again, they just, as you know, as LSU does this too, Alabama does this, a lot of teams do this, they reload. They don't rebuild, they reload. And they've got more five stars in the chamber there to trot out there. And so, you know, it's a defense that's returning a lot of guys, and they're going to be jacked up, man.
Yeah. I it's funny, we had a space last night, Twitter space, or X space, whatever, however you feel on it. It's always on Twitter.
I refuse to call it X, man. I can't do it. Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah. We talked about Kirby and his ability to recruit and how well he's done in this short amount of time. How long, 6 years or so?
Seven years.
He has been, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been amazing as a recruiter. I mean, it's five-star here, five-star there. If you can't find it in Georgia, he's can easily go anywhere, talk to someone and convince them. And it's not necessarily all about the money. It's not about NIL. He's a great, for lack of better words, mouthpiece.
Yeah. I mean, I know that sounds really bad, doesn't it? But, he's great, with parents. He's, you know, you go and watch a practice, it's intense. They're, you know, these guys know that when they come to Georgia, they're going to compete in practice, and they're going to get better. They, you know, if you look at the draft, 2 years ago when they had the 15 guys drafted, the five in the first round, all that stuff, they had a guy drafted in the third round that wasn't even a starter. Mm-hmm. And he was a day two pick for the Miami Dolphins, Channing Tindall. And, you know, like, guys will have opportunities. You know, scouts are going to be there. You're playing in the best league in the conference. You're playing against the best players in the country, and people want to go in and compete with that. And then, of course, you know, you're going to have your transfer portal losses when you can't, you know, all the top schools, they'll sign all the five stars, and then they'll lose some in the portal, part of attrition and things like that with opportunities as they come and go. But also, Kirby's not afraid to play a freshman. If a freshman is getting it done, that freshman will play, whether he starts or he is a rotator. He rotates guys on defense, and offensively, same way. I mean, he's gonna run three backs, no matter what. I mean, and running backs know that when they sign up, and they still sign up because they're gonna be fresh, right? Offensive linemen, like, they know that, you know, they're just gonna keep cranking them through there, and they're gonna put them in the best place for success. So they may come in as a tackle and move to guard. They just want to play, most of them. And then, of course, you know, you got your misses and you got your portal guys that come in for a year, and you got your guys that are, you know, NIL packages. But, I mean, he offers a variety of different things. Some people just live on NIL. Some people just, you know, hang their hat on. He's built a program,
right?
For lack of better terms. He's built a program that people can get behind.
Yeah. Danny says, to be fair, Rick left him a full room. He's always had a solid teams, but couldn't get over the 10-win hump. So Rick could actually get over the 10-win hump. He couldn't get to the championship hump.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Rick left him a full. I don't know if you want to look at that offensive line from 2016, the 2016 team, Kirby's first year. That offensive line was rough. Rough. They had to rely. When I say rely, I mean heavily rely on a transfer from Rhode Island to kind of bolster that offensive line. It was a rough group because he had a bunch of guys that were medically disqualified or were just big time swing and misses on the offensive line. That group probably was the weakest group, one of the weaker groups in the conference. Receiving wise, like, it had some good receivers, but I mean, it was kind of bare there too. The quarterback situation was not ideal. I mean, you had Jacob Eason, but that was about it. So it wasn't as full as you think it was. Now, there were some talented guys on that roster, don't get me wrong, like Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, are two examples there. But Rick, I mean, Coach Rick did a really, really good job for 15 years sustaining that program at that level. He just got burnt out. It's the only reason he was, you know, let go. He got burnt out, and Georgia had an opportunity to hire Kirby that they felt like they needed to take. So they moved a lot faster than I thought they would.
Yeah.
On that. But yeah, I mean, so to answer that question, yes and no.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Corey, one, I want to say thank you so much for coming on with us. Like I said, Vandy, not a lot of people will take on that, you know, that task. But man, you did a phenomenal job. Got one last question for you.
Okay.
Before we get out of here. Today it is the 7th, July 7th.
July 7th.
12 days.
12 days.
To the Reese of college football.
Yes.
NCAA. What feature on the new game are you most looking forward to?
Dynasty mode. It's always dynasty mode. I love
that. Everybody said that. So
dynasty mode. I mean, that's I feel like that's the only answer. Dynasty. Yeah. Outside of that answer, okay, I'll give you a different answer then. I want to see. I'm excited to see how they integrate like all the traditions from all the schools.
Yes.
Like I want to hear when you play against LSU. I want to hear Chinese bandits after a third down. Like I want to hear that. I want to see Mike the Tiger. I want to all the things that LSU does. Chinese band is one of my favorite things that y'all's band plays. Yeah. Love that.
And being a Vandy guy, I loved Rocky Top until you hear it 37 times.
Yeah, it's brutal. From both of my perspectives, it's brutal.
Yeah. And it's funny, the high schools here, because we're in North Alabama, so close to the line, a lot of them play Rocky Top.
Yeah.
So
figures.
Yeah.
So brutal, man. So brutal. But, you know, coming into this, I started with the Locked On Vandy back I agreed to it in late November. And then my first show was obviously mid December when all the stuff was created, but I never had a second team really until then, and now Vanderbilt's turned into my other team. Yeah. you know because it's fun to root for them locally,
right
down the corner. They've been like one of the things I really like about Vandy is they've been like I coach high school football, and they've been really gracious as far as access goes to like their practices and things, and a couple of my players, former players, played for Vandy, Juwan Williams and Andrew Rector. And, you know, it was fun to see them play and succeed. And it's just, you know, I've always kind of – I never really paid attention to Vandy until I moved up here. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of cool. They're underdog and they're fun. It's a fun experience. And now they're getting a new stadium. So, and I saw an opportunity to kind of be number one in a market that's not saturated at all. So here we are.
Yeah. I love Nashville. We come there often. I was actually there just this past Friday for a farmer's market.
Oh, there you go.
Farmer's market. Thank you again, Corey, so much for coming on. Tell the people where, you know, when you guys are doing shows and where they can find you.
Well, all right. So I feel like I need to give you everything, right? Okay. So starting with Locked On Vandy, the main reason I'm here. Every day, Monday through Friday, Locked On Vandy. You can catch me every day. I my shows basically go live after I record them. So, first thing when you wake up every day, you can see me. SEC After Dark, we are live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central. We go for an hour there. I host with Stephen Willis, Jake Thomas, and Jeb Beach, and we talk, obviously, all the SEC, and we go off the rails, obviously, a lot. And then Believe in Georgia Dogs. That was my original, still is. I host with Israel Troop there. We're trying to nail down our schedule. Some things might change there, but typically we go once a week for an hour. We go live mostly every Tuesday night, sometimes Tuesdays and Thursdays, and oftentimes every Thursday. But he's got a new coaching job down in South Georgia, so that schedule's kind of fluid right now, but we're trying to get all that figured out before the start of college football season. So that's where you can find me, at Locked On Vandy. Also, if you want to follow the show, my personal Twitter account at CoachBurton36 right there at Believe_in_dogs for that one. And then at SEC_after_dark for that show.
Yeah. All right, man. I think we actually got Steve Willis coming soon. Let me look at my schedule. We got him for come on, talk about on the 17th. Give us some info on Ole Miss.
There you go. He's the guy, man. When it comes to Ole Miss, he's the guy. He's got the number one show on Ole Miss. He's dominating that market actually. But yeah, he'll be a great one to have on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Because I'm hearing a lot of stuff about Kiffin this year. So
when will you never hear stuff about Kiffin, right? If you don't hear anything about Kiffin, he's probably gone. He's probably retired. And you probably still hear from him like you did from Spurrier when he retired.
Yeah. Joey Freshwater will be back.
Man, this was fun, dude. I love your show. And I think it's a lot of fun. And obviously from the Believe in the Believe family.
Hey, thank you. On behalf of my co-host who couldn't be here tonight, thank you for coming on. Like I said, giving us this, info on Vandy, man. I've got a lot of respect for Vandy. I like Vandy. They're one of my favorite underdogs. And I'm always pulling for them to get, 5 to 6 wins every year.
Just not that one in November, right?
Not that one, as long as they beat Florida.
Oh, as long as they beat, well, we don't play, Vandy doesn't play Florida this year, so.
Yeah.
Florida was going to be one. They're ripe for the taking.
Wish
they were playing Florida. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Another one. But thank you again. We'll have to have you back during the season so we can talk some more Vandy and Georgia, man.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do a home and away game week for sure.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Sounds good. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That was our good friend, Mr. Corey Burton. Man, listen, I told y'all, man. That's why I like Vandy. Hold on. Y'all know it's hard when it. Let me give him his. That was good, man. That was good. Oh, man. All right, man. We gotta move on down this train. Next up, we got to talk. We mentioned it before. Well, we didn't mention it, but LSU baseball. LSU baseball got another commit, another pitcher out of, if I'm not mistaken, out of DBU. He also came from LSU Eunice. Connor, I can't think of his last name. Great kid. Amazing story. For those of you who may not have seen it, it was a story. He played against during, I think, Little League or middle school or something. No, maybe in high school. Played against our very own Gavin Guidry. Guidry hit a line drive that struck the kid. The kid was out for a while. Those two kept in contact, have remained friends, and now they are now teammates together. So congratulations to them. With the addition, LSU baseball is now ranked the number one in team rankings. Some of y'all were saying that it's time for Jay Johnson to go. A lot of y'all were calling for his head. And he came back, rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. It's a bad man. Jay Johnson, a bad man. You can't get rid of him like that. Speaking of a bad man, Paul Skeens, ladies and gentlemen, it's Paul Skeens, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, has been selected for the All-Star roster. Paul Skeens is 5-0. He's played in 10 games. He has a 5-0 record, a 2.12 ERA. In those games that he started, he's pitched 59.1 innings. So he's giving you 6 innings pretty much every game. He gets you almost 8 strikeouts a game. He's at 78 on the season, and he has a whip of 1.01. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Skeens has been, in lack of better words, amazing. amazing in his rookie campaign so far. Congratulations. And I forget the way baseball rolls. This might not even necessarily be considered his rookie campaign. But yeah, congratulations to him as he makes it into the All-Star game. Congratulations to DeMar DeRozan as he stays in the Bay Area. Well, I ain't going to say the Bay Area. He stays in Sacramento, stays in California after his They Not Like Us tour with Kendrick Lamar. But now DeRozan is with the Kings. He's in a sign and trade with the Bulls. He will now be with the Kings. I haven't looked at all the details of that. We'll get when Ant, you know, saying come back. We can talk about how much of a fit that is. I think I like it. You got DeRozan. You got De'Aaron Fox, and you got Sabonis. I like that. It's a good look. So what's up, man? All right. Give me a second. Let me finish this one story, and then you can come in. Okay. All right. So, as a matter of fact, it's the story we talked about yesterday, Dylan. What you were asking me about. I want to say my condolences to the family of the three young men that were in the car crash on yesterday morning, early yesterday morning. Most notably was Kyrie Jackson, the fourth round draft pick of the Minnesota Vikings, former Alabama player, former Oregon Duck. Unfortunately, during the crash, he and two of his former high school teammates are now deceased. And it's suspected that alcohol played a part in it. Not the three gentlemen, but the drivers of the other two vehicles, one that hit him or hit them and the other involved. So it's a tragic story. People are saddened to hear about it. And people are remorseful and you know, the typical, you know, he was a great young man, you know, had a lot going for himself. And then, as many of you have probably seen, as a guy on, it's been going around Twitter is where I saw it, Rico Knows TikTok. So it's a gentleman, a content creator. I'm not going to call him media because he's not. It's a content creator named Rico Knows TikTok. And he got on his platform and made the statement that he doesn't do condolences. He doesn't, you know, death is death, and you deal with what you deal with on your side, and I deal with what I'll deal with on my side. And he got on there and began to basically, I'm going to choose my words carefully. I'm not going to say slander. But he began to state accusations and make very disparaging remarks about Kyrie Jackson, the same Kyrie Jackson who was not even deceased for a whole 12 hours. And this man, this person, cretin, if you may, gets on his platform and starts stating these things about how he heard that he was a terrible person, that he heard that Kyrie Jackson had troubles everywhere he went, except for the last year, 12 months, where he was turning himself around, and that he just was a terrible person. People, teammates and players that he's hanging around said he was a terrible person. It's people like Mr. Rico that forget that Malcolm X was once Malcolm Little. It's people like Rico that forget that people can find a way to change. In 12 months, a year, give it, Kyrie could have had some life-altering event. The birth of a child, the death of a family member. He might have just woken up and realized that, hey, I can change my ways, or hey, maybe I should, you know what I'm saying, change my image. Regardless, this young man who family is hurting, whose friends are hurting, they are owed, they deserve to not hear from the idiocracy that lives within between those two ears of yours. They deserve better than to hear you disparage their loved one, to hear you throw shade, throw dirt on his name. When all this young man did, and you made the comment, Rico made the comment that sometimes bad life choices have bad results. He wasn't even driving. He was a passenger. And they did not cause the accident. They were victims to a drunk driver. And for you to come up and make the comments on your platform that you did, Dylan says, so I'm not going to say the words I want to say, but you are a piece of crap. You are a terrible person. Dylan asked me about it yesterday when we were talking about it. And he said, why would he say something like that? And I mentioned to Dylan that no matter what you're going through with someone, when someone passes away, there's a time and a place. And speaking ill on their name is not the time nor the place. So, again, my heart, my condolences, my prayers go out to Kyrie Jackson, his two teammates that were in the car with him, those families, because this could have been avoided. And unfortunately, you now have to suffer. So that's what I got. Excuse me. That's what I have for that. I'm going to bring Dylan up and we can start taking phone calls. Give me a second. Get some stuff cleared up here. If you got questions, want to talk about recruiting, Angel Reese, any of the stories we just had, give me 1 second. All right. And come on, Dylan. What's up, man? How was your day?
Good.
Good. All right. You had a homework assignment again. Did you find out something that you want to talk about?
A homework assignment?
Yeah. You had a sports homework. You said you want to be on the show. You told you had a sports homework assignment. Find a sports story to talk about. Did you find one? No? Okay.
I was going to talk about what you asked me.
What I asked you? Okay. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to give us a call, 225-308-1234. That is 225-308-1234. That's easy enough. All right, what you want? Go ahead, Dylan. Floor is yours. What you got?
How was their day today?
How was their day?
Yeah.
Their day was great. They get to listen to us. And they got to watch some sports.
How do you feel about Madden 25?
I'm not so much worried about Madden 25. College football 25 is what I'm more excited about, just simply because we haven't had it. You weren't even born. Thought about, yeah, somebody call. Thank you for calling the Golden Boot. This is Pooh Bear, and you got Dylan with us. Who we got on tonight?
Pooh Bear, what's up, man? This is Chuck Hunt calling from Monroe, Louisiana.
What's going on, Chuck? What you got for us, man?
Man, nothing much. I was just talking. I was listening to you. You had your guest on, Corey Burton from Vanderbilt. And, yeah, it's something he was just talking about, was going on with Vandy. And it's something he was just saying about them, what their facilities are. And he brought up Jerry Keel. Right. And I was thinking about Jerry Keel. Yeah, I remember him back when he was at Northern Illinois and before he went to Minnesota,
right?
Because he knew he he replaced Tim Brewster. You know, mm-hmm. people remember Tim Brewster was on Deion's staff at Jackson State, and he ended up at Colorado with him. And he'll, you know, I said, if it wasn't for that seizure, which you all were talking about, if it wasn't for that seizure, he'll be getting even more jobs. But he has his health challenges, and he did a great job at New Mexico State. And I didn't know what it had, I mean, until he said he's at Vanderbilt now. And and I remember you, Pooh, were talking about Kirby. You all were talking about Kirby Smart. Found this guy that Corey Burton is a graduate of the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. He just talking about how Kirby Smart is recruited, how well he's recruited. You know, you say he's not from someone from the portal. He's looking. He's just bringing guys in, but he's doing what he's doing is what I think about. I was when I heard you all talking about that. I was thinking about Ryan Day at Ohio State. I think they is in desperation mode. He's living in the portal right now because after what has happened, feeling the wrath of University of Michigan when Jim Harbaugh was there. Mm-hmm. I think he's just trying to get it. And even to have Chip Kelly to leave his head coaching job at UCLA to become offense coordinator at Ohio State. I think he's living in the portal right now. And like I say, he's in desperation mode. And then I'm going to land on this one. You were talking about Corey Raymond. Yeah, I met him years back when he was at LSU before. He was in Monroe at the restaurant where I used to work. He came in when I had him. He had been recruiting, been out recruiting. He and I chatted. He came in, he had the LSU jacket on, and he was finished for the evening. We were shooting the breeze, and he was finding somewhere to go. And he's a nice guy. I remember Raymond when he played at LSU back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I mean, he's playing with the Giants. He and I had a nice chat because back during that time, he was recruiting there. That was back when Rashard Lawrence being recruited by LSU and others. Mm-hmm. Others were in town. I had a lot of recruiters would come in. Guy that used to be at UCLA came in the restaurant. He had been to Neville's game to watch Rashard Lawrence. And yeah, Raymond. Yeah, I remember Raymond was there. They were calling the LSU. What they called DBU during that time.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, I'm going to go back to a little bit. You were talking about, I think you mentioned Kim. Last year he had New Mexico State. If I don't know if you remember, he took New Mexico State.
He beat Auburn.
And took Auburn and beat them. New Mexico State was doing well, but as
lost to Liberty.
Yeah. As Corey mentioned, the health issues have been an issue for him. He had to leave Minnesota. He was doing well there. You're right. So,
I remember that he was shaking. I remember it was after that game. I remember he was on the game. He was there on the field on the sideline. And he was like, mm-hmm. remember him shaking. And I said, man, something to look at. I said, it shows you.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Chuck, man, Corey was amazing. Really, really enjoyed it. But yeah, he brought us some stuff. I didn't realize, like you said, I didn't realize Kill was at, was at Vandy either, but that's a very good pickup for them. I like how how he said Clark Lee's using him. Basically, he's the head coach of the offense, basically. But man, Chuck, thank you for calling in as always. Truly appreciate it, man. And look forward to talking to you again next week or later. All right, later this week. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always great conversing with you all. I see you had your son on there, and he's giving his update on things. It's great to get you getting him groomed for what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, he likes talking anyway. That's his thing.
That's what you do. He has his father there to groom him, get him ready. All so right. He's had to start somewhere. All right. Yes.
All right. Appreciate you, Chuck. Talk to you soon.
All right. You all take care. All right.
All right. All right, our good man Chuck, always with the knowledge. But let me answer your question. And then I'm going to go to Miss Danny's question that she asked. So, Madden 25, I'm looking forward to it to an extent, but I'm looking more forward to College 25. The last time that game was out, Daddy was in – no, I wasn't in college. That was
– middle school?
No, I wasn't in middle school. Mm-hmm. I was older. I was – it was about – 2 or 3 years before you were born. It was one of my favorite games. So yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Now it's coming back. Yeah, we'll see. Now, Danny asked, do we know, she asked about a WNBA question, Angel Reese, do we know who votes on the WNBA Rookie of the Year and the metrics they use? Is it a popularity contest like it has become in the NFL, or is it really on stats? I don't know if the NFL's Rookie of the Year is a popularity, because I'll say this. I think they get it right more than they do wrong. The problem, though, Danny, in the NFL, it's just like college with the Heisman stuff, is a quarterback award. Most of the times, the quarterbacks win those awards, and that's the issue there. But it's not like we've had Herbert put up some damn good numbers. Excuse me. He put up some really good numbers to win his award, and C.J. Stroud put up numbers that was very similar. I would have voted for Justin Jefferson, and I can see Puka Nacua, him winning, could have won. Yes.
I would vote T. Higgins.
T. Higgins won a rookie last year.
So,
I know you like T. Higgins.
He had a good catch.
He had a good catch, baby, but that's not the whole season. All right. So, but yeah. Just like Danny, I suspect Jaden is going to be a prime candidate to win Rookie, him or Caleb, to be win Rookie of the Year. And I can see Jaden winning.
Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams, because I don't know. Caleb has some pretty good weapons around him, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
I'm pretty sure they'll vote Caleb Williams.
But let's look. But Danny, since you asked, let me not guess. Let me look and see how it goes. I don't know if Ant's still watching. If he can. If he knows how the voting goes, I'll tell you, like, he had other things going on. I don't know if it's a fan. Okay, there is a fan portion of the vote. I'm guessing it's kind of like the no, it's not. Or is it? No, that's the All-Star. God dang. Then I might owe you that later. Look up the Rookie of the Year. No. WNBA. Rookie of the Year Award. Let's see if that gives us information.
I know who's going to be. It's going to be Angel.
Yeah, she's been doing very good this year. Caitlin's been doing good too, but I think we're going to
It's going to be mostly Angel.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
People, I don't think, wasn't it like a few games ago when Caitlin wasn't in the game, like benched for some reason? Like a game against them?
Hold on. I'm going to answer this real quick. Danny, so I'm looking up. The winner is selected by a panel of sports writers throughout the United States, each of whom casts a vote for the first, second, and third place selection. Each first place vote is worth 5 points. Second is worth 3, and third is worth 1. So that's how that's done. So I can see, Ant, there you go, Ant. He said it's voted by the media. Yes, yeah, it's a popularity request. Last year, someone voted Asia Wilson fourth. Oh, that's what MVP. He's talking about MVP. So, yeah. But yeah, Rookie of the Year, same difference.
Tomato, so. Tomato.
MVP and Rookie of the Year is two different things. Silly. I mean, similar, but it's two different things. But yeah, that's that. So, she said, well, we will know how that one ends then, just like those All-Star votes, delusional numbers for a certain person, so similar to Heisman, and we know how the media treats AR. Yeah, I have seen a lot of that change, and I talked about that at the top of the, you know, at the top of the show. I'm not seeing enough Baton Rouge media. I'm not seeing enough LSU podcasters and stuff talk about Angel. Me and Ant holding it down for everybody. Y'all better catch up. You know what I'm saying? Angel need help. She needs help because she is doing what she's doing outstanding. That girl on fire, and ain't nobody talking about it. It took Marvin, shout out to Marvin, because I'll mess with him, but it took Marvin Mackey, our good friend, and C. King to bring it up about why the LSU media not talking about Angel Reese enough. We heard, listen, I have bookmarks of people telling me Angel Reese will be a bench player for her career. I have bookmarks of people telling me Angel Reese is not as good as Caitlin Clark. She'll never be as good. She is not even remotely in the same atmosphere. Well, June Rookie of the Month says a whole lot different. All-star voting shows a whole lot different. Yeah. And Paul Skeens is getting love. So it ain't. Paul Skeens gets love. Jordan Jefferson gets love. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow. So I agree. There are Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Mahomes, but he's not an LSU player. You about to get put out. But we talking about, you know, saying all former players get a lot of love. I'm trying to figure out why is it Angel's not getting the same love, the same backing. Hello. Hey.
Justin Jefferson. Did you say him?
I did say Justin Jefferson. Uh-huh. I did say Justin Jefferson. I'm wondering if we're gonna see that for Jaden. Y'all better show them some love. All right, what else we gotta talk about? Miss Danny got a question. Who will have the better season, Houston or LSU? Ooh.
I don't know. Wait, what's Houston's?
Hold on. You want me to help you answer?
Yeah. No. Wait. What's Houston's roster? Not roster.
Ranking.
No.
We don't know yet.
Not ranking. Schedule.
They play in the Big 12.
Big. Like good schools?
They have some decent schools. I mean,
is Michigan in it?
No, Michigan Big Ten.
Oh.
Okay, but still, even with that though. So right now, Houston is picked to finish 12th in the Big 12. But and they got a new first year head. Well, it's not a first year. He's their first year head coach.
Isn't that Fritz?
Coach Fritz is his first
year.
Coach Sherman is their first year at Houston. They kind of in the rebuild mode.
I'm going for LSU.
But I say this, if Houston have a better season than LSU, Brian Kelly in big trouble.
No, can I tell you why I think LSU?
Yeah, tell me why.
Like they're going against like South Alabama. Are they?
Yeah,
play South Alabama. Not Vanderbilt.
They play Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. So those are like two easy wins.
Okay.
Two easy wins. Oklahoma and TCU are two hard wins.
For Houston.
Yeah, because like Oklahoma, they're pretty good.
LSU play Oklahoma too. They played them last game though.
But like at that point, like Oklahoma doesn't Houston play Oklahoma first?
They played them second.
Like so, LSU would have a build up.
Okay, I see.
Houston will have one game to build up.
I feel you.
That's why I think LSU.
Gotcha. Ironically, you said LSU got South Alabama and Vanderbilt.
UNLV is good. I don't know.
They're pretty good. I think they won their conference. Did you know Houston is only predicted to win two games, and you know
who I don't know.
Hold on, wait. You got to let me read to set it up. You're getting ahead of yourself. All right. So Houston only predicted to win two games. LSU, you already named two games that they're going to win. So that should probably answer your question right there.
Why they only predicted win two?
Because it's
I feel like they're going to win more.
I do too.
You know why?
Why?
They have two good running back. I mean,
wide receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do, don't it?
Yeah.
You know one, don't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ant tunes in. He said, who is the best team in the country?
It's going to have to go down against Michigan and Alabama.
You think Michigan and Alabama?
It has to go down against one of them.
You think it's either Michigan or Alabama is the best team in the country?
Yes.
Okay.
Most people, I think it would be Michigan.
You think it's going to be Michigan?
Well,
again?
That's what they would say.
They lost their coach gone. He in the NFL now.
I know, but like.
And a lot of their players.
But for right now, since the season hasn't started, they're basically best team in the country.
You got to beat
because them. They're number one ranked still.
Yeah. Okay. To beat the man, you got to beat the man, right? Okay. That's fair. I don't agree, but that's fair. Edwin says, "How old is your guest analyst? How old are you?"
8.
I'm gonna guess 4.
What do you mean? Oh, I thought you had one.
I am you. I think you 4. All right. Danny said, little man dropping facts. Houston plays Oklahoma early in the season. LSU plays them at the end. So that time has time to be better by the end. She says she disagrees with, but she respects your choices. She says it's Ohio State or Georgia.
No, not this right now.
Yeah, not right now.
Yeah, but soon.
Soon? When the season starts?
No, when the season starts, it's probably going to be. I don't want to say this, but I'm probably going to have to.
What?
Alabama.
You think Alabama? I don't know.
Or actually Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. That's a popular choice right now. Ole Miss, been heavy in the portal. Been getting a lot of players and stuff. Lane Kiffin.
But next year is going to be good for LSU.
I like how you think. Next year is going to be good for LSU.
They're going to be number one in next year. Hmm. I know that for a starting.
Learn it for certain reasons. You got inside knowledge.
You told me, remember, about the recruit.
Oh, you talking about Bryce?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I did tell you about that. Yeah.
That he's gonna be there, right? Mm. Or he could. Can he still change?
Yeah, he can still change, but I think he's solid on his commit.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Until his name is on paper, signed in ink.
But I think he's gonna commit.
He's already committed. You think he's going to sign?
Yeah, sign.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. What else you got, man? What else has been going on?
What's your ratings on overall in college 25?
What you mean, my rating?
Yeah, like on teams overalls.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I hadn't played in a while. Your dad was real good at the game when I was.
I'm going to be better.
I used to beat Uncle Anthony, and he started playing all the time. He started beating me. So
I'm going to beat you.
You're going to beat me?
Yeah.
We'll see.
No, can I tell you how? I know. Because I already have the teams locked in.
You already got the teams locked in? Who are you going to play with?
You know, Houston and LSU.
Oh, okay. So Danny says, does your analyst play football? If so, what position? And you better not say defensive line.
Safety.
Okay. Tell the truth. Safety, what else you play?
Corner.
Okay, what else?
I want to say, but I don't feel like saying it.
What about your offensive positions?
Wingback.
Wingback.
And wide receiver.
Wingback and wide receiver.
I'm going to make some good catches.
You are going to make some good catches. Have some good runs too.
Yeah. Last year I didn't get it so good on offense.
You did great on defense though.
Yeah, great on defense.
Well, Edwin, so the story behind that, you want me to tell them the story about why you want to play D-line? So we were at practice one day and we were trying to teach the kids on the offensive line to trying to teach the kids on the offensive line to close in on their blocks. And so I had one kid, I kept telling him, shoot the gap. And he was like, I can't. I said, okay. I said, all right. When I swapped him and Dylan, and I said, Dylan, shoot the gap. He said, okay. The first time he did, they stopped it. That second time, Dylan bust through there, bam, tackle the quarterback. Ever since
then, running back.
It was the quarterback that had the ball. Running back ain't got it. It was a pass play.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I thought
either way, you tackled it in the backfield. Got yeah. tackled in the backfield. So ever since then, Ed, when he's been saying he want to play defensive line. So now Ant says the question is, how good is your team gonna be?
I feel like we're gonna go. How many games? Like
let's say eight. We got eight games, I think.
Okay, yeah. It was eight games the last season. So, okay. Yeah, eight games.
So
eight game regular season.
Eight game regular season. So, how you think y'all going to do?
We're going to go 6-3.
6-2. 6-2? I like it. 6-2. I like it. It's humble.
Is it what goes first?
The wins.
Okay, 6-2.
Yeah, wins first. All right, I like it. It's humble. It's humble. Do you got any idea who's going to be the best safety?
It's 8U.
No, it's 9. It's 8-9.
Oh.
You got some 9-year-olds on the team too. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else before we get ready to get about it? What else you got to talk about, man? You got a new football game on PlayStation, didn't you?
Yeah, wild card football.
Wild card football.
It's really fun.
It's like backyard football, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's got real NFL quarterback. I mean, real NFL players playing backyard football. It has
instead of saying like their actual team name, like Bengals, Chiefs, and stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Answer the question.
It's like Team Burrow, Team Mahomes.
Okay.
Team Watson.
Okay.
And like something I don't get about it, they're playing on metal.
I get it. It's like backyard football. Oh, Edwin said, from now on, you got to say my source say. You just can't say daddy told me. You got to say my source said. Okay.
But you never told me anything.
You just told him I told you that about Bryce Underwood.
Who's Bryce?
Quarterback.
Oh.
Okay. All right, Ant wants to know, who's your favorite player on defense?
I don't have one.
You don't have a favorite player on defense?
No.
Why not? But you play safety. You know?
I don't watch defense.
Oh, you like playing defense better, but you like offense more.
Like I don't pay attention to people on defense.
Mm.
I just pay attention to tackles.
Oh, so if you paid attention to people on defense.
I can answer the question.
No, you'll see them and you wouldn't run right to them and let them tackle you.
Huh?
Huh?
Wait, are you talking about? No.
Hey, I'm talking about how you doing the game. You run straight to them and let them tackle you.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh.
I trust.
Okay.
What's that mean?
Say, who give your offensive players issues? I don't know what you mean by that one, Edwin. I don't know who you mean. What do you mean, Edwin? I don't get that one.
Same.
So, I don't know. All right. What else you got for me? You practice getting ready to start soon?
I can't wait to be in pads.
You can't wait to be in pads? It's going to be hot when pads come.
No, but listen, I'm going to be trucking everybody.
You're going to truck everybody? All right.
I'm going to get my friend back.
Okay. I tell you what, you better not stick your arm in front of you trying to stiff arm.
I'll do.
Every time you do. Oh, that's what he said. Okay. What? He said, to figure out his favorite defensive player who gives his favorite offensive player fit. So, you know, like on offense, who your favorite offensive player? So who stops them the most? So like, who guards Ja'Marr Chase the most and gives him the most trouble catching? I tell you who, I know who is not.
Who?
Marlon Humphrey don't stop him. He can't stop a cold. He definitely ain't stop anyway. It ain't Eli Apple.
That's Kadarius Toney play.
Kadarius Toney's play offense.
Oh, I thought he also plays defense.
I mean, he catch like a cornerback, but
he would be. He would be if it.
If it was it, yeah, yeah, he can't now.
I would say. I still don't know anybody.
You still don't know anybody on defense?
Yeah.
You got to start paying attention to defense.
No, the thing is, like, it's I know a lot of offensive names.
Okay.
I just.
Well, who's your favorite offensive player?
Ja'Marr.
Ja'Marr Chase?
Easily.
Easily. Gotcha.
My second is probably T.
T. Higgins?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He helped us win a game.
Yeah. What about running backs? Because you name a lot of wide receivers. What are running backs you really like?
Joe
Burr is a quarterback.
I said Joe Mixon.
Oh, Joe Mixon. Oh, my bad. How do you feel about him going to the Texans?
Sad.
Okay. You gonna watch the Texans a little bit more?
No, still no.
I mean, but they're in Houston.
But no.
Okay. All right.
Just because they're in Houston doesn't mean.
Yeah. Danny says Jets is better than Ja'Marr is a close second.
Nah.
No. He said his favorite Danny. So I understand.
My favorite QB.
Who is your favorite QB? Is it Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who's your second favorite?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Wait, can I say someone from my league?
Yeah, you can say whoever you want.
Oh, okay, then Gray.
Gray is your favorite. Your quarterback is your favorite, second favorite quarterback.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's go ahead and get up out of here. People have listened to us enough.
I did good.
You did all right.
I talked about more stuff today.
You did. I was proud of you.
And I had actual logic.
You did have actual logic.
Still, I'm not watching them.
Edwin, he said Edwin says he's closer to your brother in Houston. He said, nah, player.
If when Jay actually gets to a team, I'll probably watch him. I just hope they don't get drafted to Chiefs.
To the Chiefs?
Yeah. He might. If he's good, he's going to get drafted. He's probably going to get Kadarius Toney's probably going to get replaced easily.
Hey, Kadarius might not make it this season. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see. Edwin said you did good. He said, great job. You need your own segment.
What does that mean?
It means your own spot on the show.
I do.
He got his own spot.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I said I need one.
Oh, you got
one. I want to be right there. I want to be right there.
Okay. Edwin, don't encourage him.
Yeah.
All right.
What does that mean?
We'll be back. Let me look at the schedule, see when we'll be back.
Tuesday.
No. We won't be back. Thursday? We'll be back next week. Danny said Dylan's doubts where you pick losers for each team each week.
What does that mean?
You pick teams you think gonna lose.
Oh. In NFL or college? I'll say NFL.
Yeah.
Week one. I want to say this. Denver versus Pat versus Chiefs.
In week one? Is that the schedule for it? Or you think that's the schedule? You serious? Or are you just saying that?
They're saying that.
Oh, I was going to say that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If that was.
Be careful. Divisional games are tricky.
No, but you've you've heard what happened after the first time Denver beat Chiefs.
What happened?
Let's just say they lose about 80 years and more, or 80 or a few years.
What are you talking about? They just beat them last year.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I just said divisional games are tricky.
Oh. Well,
they play them twice, too.
This year, they're not going to beat them.
Gotcha. All right, we'll be back next week. Let me get my theme music going. But we'll be back next week. We got we're going to take off this Wednesday. I'm sorry. I think we take off this Wednesday and Thursday, to be honest with you. I can't remember. But we'll be back next week. Like that, we got.
Bye-bye. Have a good
night. This show was presented by BetOnline.ag.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on Twitter at Golden Boot. On Instagram at Golden Boot. On YouTube at The Golden Boot Pod. On Facebook at The Golden Boot Pod.
Golden Boot!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.